Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, 832, we have not figured out Casario's middle name, but thank you for reminding me what In The Loop LLC is supposed to be working on. Get to it, fellas. Come on. That's not what I pay you for.
Totally forgot. Yeah.
I'm glad that nobody was like, y'all don't pay. You don't pay me.
Yeah. we might as well just go with Nick Cage.
Nicholas Cage Casario.
Yeah.
Nah, I want to get to the bottom of this, but we gotta do more work, I guess. Also, in the caliber or in the bucket of needs to do more work, the Houston Texans offense.
Yes,
because
sir.
What we've seen is just it's far too rudimentary. It's one of those. I mean, we discussed it all week long. We discussed it at length yesterday. You know, when you got Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes on probably the best, the best NFL show that we have on like usual television
network TV.
There we go. With NFL Live, are like, yo, there's no easy buttons, and we're like, all right, well, what are the easy buttons? I found this interesting with CJ yesterday because he talked about a lot of things, and one of those was a question asked about one of those easy buttons, motion, man. Motion is very important, whether it's pre-snap motion to help diagnose or, you know, during snap motion that, you know, it's maybe a cheat motion or allows you to get a player moving at speed and able to get an advantage a little bit in a route. We know it in football to be something of an advantage. And so I was deeply shocked, appalled even.
You were appalled.
Appalled is something I will say. When CJ Stroud was asked, how does motion help you be a more explosive quarterback?
I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest. Like, I'd rather like see the defense, see what they're doing. Motion isn't really for me. It could be, but sometimes it's for, you know, like making them communicate a little more. So it could create a seed of doubt and confusion because defenses have a bunch of checks. But, I really don't mind.
There are a couple things there that, I just be honest, kind of upset me.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot. Foremost, and it's not even that, this one is not that important. You know, when he says, eh. how important is it? You're like, eh. That's just, it just hit me funny, you know, that he did that. But it leads real quick.
Actually, no, I think that's a big thing. Like, I think the tone of this entire presser was really weird. And it has been largely for CJ. We've talked about this since camp. He doesn't feel like himself, or at least the CJ that we had come to know. But the tone of this one was very weird. And I can't really put my finger on why it is. Like, I don't know if it's
frustration. You can speculate.
Frustration, you know, whether it's internally, whether it's just with the way that things are going. But the tone of it's weird. But I also don't think that justifies what feels like it counters a lot of what we know about football.
The second part is what really upset me. Because play it one more time, and I'll tell you when to stop, Figgy. Because this is not a little thing.
I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest. Like, I'd rather like see the defense, see what they're doing. Motion isn't really for me. It could be.
Stop it right there. He's basically telling us that their motion packages are just window dressing. He's not even basic. He's telling us that. He says, because he caught himself, he goes, well, it could be for me. Because if what we want to see is motion that becomes a route in the flat or wheel or something like that, where you're actually using the motion as an integral part of your offense. What he's saying right there is like, it doesn't really matter. You know, it can be for me, but not really. And I'm paraphrasing. That's telling me that their motion packages is just window dressing.
I mean,
that's concerning.
That is one of those things that you absolutely can take away. Yeah. One of the things I don't understand, and maybe this is just a level of like belief in self. It does. I don't know necessarily that it is for you, because we've seen very good quarterbacks utilize motion in order to help them.
But when it's part of the offense.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, but and I'm not saying that you're wrong in that regard, but I'm just like the seeming disregard for motion in general as a tool. It falls in line with the word that I've been using a lot with this team headed into the season was hubris. It almost strikes me as that, like, well, no, I can read perfectly. Well, why not get the more information? Like, I don't think there's ever been an instance where having more information of what you're looking at isn't helpful, especially because as of right now, I do wonder if he's diagnosing things properly. That's one of those conversations that we've had largely around this team. And so for you to like flatly go to this place where you're like, nah, I don't think motion is useful. Like, maybe this is some level of an attempt to defend what they're doing. I don't think it's a good one. And it really makes me question, obviously, CJ in general, but then also what the hell is happening just generally all the way with that offense that, one, maybe this is some level of indication that the motion is window dressing, and two, that like you just don't value it, something that clearly is to be valued in football.
Both of those. I think it absolutely is an indication of that, because he did kind of catch himself. Well, I guess it can be, or it can be. But he's basically saying, like, when you see us do motion, we're just trying to, you know, kind of identify things on the defense, but it's not really part of it. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, if I'm a defensive coordinator, that's good information. You know, that's good information for the Jacksonville Jaguars right there. You know, so that one bothered me. And if you want to say I'm reading too much into that, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of offenses that use that. And again, Reggie, it does point back to Nick Cayley, too.
Yeah, no, because
it does.
Because we went through the numbers, like the things that you consider easy buttons, including motion, they use at an incredibly low rate. And it's super frustrating. We were just talking with Seth, who happens to, you know, still be around the office. And one of the things is like, this is, and we've talked about this a lot also, just in general, this is an offense, if you're the Patriots offense, which we could confirm now for sure from people that you would like to lean on, that this is indeed a Patriots offense. It takes a while to get it installed. There's a lot of things involved with it. So why not make it easier understanding the stakes on the early parts of that? And so even if it's like, in the best parts of the system, you don't really need motion. I don't agree with that. But at this point, you do. It's very clear that you need things to help you get better. And so I hate that laissez-faire approach to this. I would like to make myself more mad here, if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
If circling back to something else CJ Stroud talked about, he was asked, and this is three here, if you can, Figgy, what are some things that you feel like you need to focus on that you need to get better at?
I don't know, everything. Like, I can always be better. I told D'Amico the other day, like, if anything he sees or anybody sees I can be better in, let me know. You know, I think my process has really been good lately. I see the field well, putting the ball where it's supposed to be, with the coverages and whatnot. And some things is just, I didn't really get a ton of reps with some of the guys we're getting in the game at receiver. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But I think that's one of my biggest things, just being the coach on the field, you know, and taking that step. And it takes time. It's not overnight. So that's an area I think I can grow.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, and it does take time. It's just when you watch it too, you're just like, man.
He kind of sound defeated a little bit.
Certainly frustrated. The 281 says CJ having to hold in his true feelings is getting harder and harder for him. Maybe. Who knows?
And look, I see you 8-2. CJ and D'Amico are sick of answering the lame ass repetitive questions that are being asked to me. These aren't coming from nowhere.
Yeah.
Right, like this.
What are
is,
you curious about?
This isn't coming from nowhere. The production on the field needs to show, and that's where, like, hey, CJ's like, I'm reading the coverage and I'm putting the ball where it needs to be. That's objectively wrong.
Yeah,
like I'm not here to call people liars, but that one, putting the ball where it needs to be, we can point to a number of plays where actually, no, your off target rate is incredibly high.
Yeah.
For you and for the expectations that we have for you, but this in general for a starting quarterback right now, that's not true.
Yeah.
And so like, I get it, right? Some of this is just frustration with where it is. I think also CJ Stroud and D'Amico like to put on a little bit of a face when they are at the podium. Not, I don't blame them for those things. But it does get frustrating, especially when you mix that in with things that are not true and things, and you kind of wipe away things that clearly should be helpful.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It felt weird, and this is probably I recognize that this is probably less fair. It felt weird. That it was like, I don't know what I knew. Everything, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
I told D'Amico, let me know.
It feels a lot less pointed in a time where you absolutely need to be pretty pointed to get yourself back on track.
And you know, not to totally, you know, dismiss what the texter was saying, but you know, the word of the week has been we're close. The term of the week has been we're close. And so that's fair. They can turn things. And D'Amico has said a couple of times, you know, hey, if we were winning, you know, won these two games and found a way to win these two games, we'd all be singing a different tune. That is absolutely true too. We'd all be singing a different tune. I don't think these issues would be any less, you know, discussed, because that's what this is about. It's not about, hey, you really need to wait. No, we really need to see something here. You know, whether it's CJ Stroud, Nick Cayley, or just the offense in general.
No, and so yeah, all those things end up being frustrating. Like, and again, I understand they're frustrated. We're frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. So all of this kind of compounds on itself, and the only real panacea, the only thing that cleans all this up for us. The stink that's in the air is winning, and hopefully you could start doing that with Jacksonville. It just feels like things are off in a way that's not just the frustration.
Yes, it really does.
That's something that remains to be seen, and some of it, again, comes back to the way that you hired your coordinator, because, again, you could talk about this offense, which actually, Fig, if you don't mind, can you give me this tweet that was out there? This is from the Jags, or not the Jags, rather, the Bucks. Again, going backwards a little bit, but it's to look forward. Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles, the head coach, and you know he's a defensive mindset guy. Yeah. He still kind of runs that defense, was asked about, hey, you know, the last couple of weeks you've had Rams-type systems that you've gone up against, and he wanted to clear something up.
Doesn't put a lot of conflict on it. The Falcons came from McVay. The Rams, even though he came from McVay, that was the Patriots system that they ran, so...
Well, there's some confirmation right there from a defensive guy.
Right. And so, I mean, we knew this, but I think the thing that comes to mind for me, and you heard me ask ND this, how much are you getting a modern iteration of this offense? Mm-hmm. And is that at all some of what you're getting from CJ in this frustration here? Because I vividly remember thinking, and look, I'll put money in the jar if I need to, when I was in Dallas watching Mike McCarthy run a West Coast offense that he ran in 2008. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, people know how to handle that defense.
Yeah.
Or an offense defensively. Yeah. The questions that you have to ask, like, how do we stop this? You don't have to ask those. You just go to the book. People have figured out what the answers are to that,
you can
right?
Go to coaching clinic.
100%. Yeah. And so similarly, I understand the idea of implementing a Patriot system. There are people that still run it to this day that run it well, like Josh McDaniels. But it feels like if you're going to do that, you need to have modern elements on it. And so... that's another reason why I was a little frustrated with CJ talking about, I don't need motion. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You need new modern elements to add on to whatever that system is, especially because it's not on the cutting edge of what we're doing. It's behind, and people have answers to that.
And the other part of it is, you know, you need motion just in general, but as integral parts of what this offense needs, you heard Andy Kalu also talking about, you know, the little short passes, the little outs, the little flares. Make them, you know, extension of the run game, all that stuff. Well, they've been throwing the ball, you know, on the out patterns and deeper routes and all that. Motion can help you get those things moving, the little shorter plays as well. And then finally, when you talk about, I mean, Todd Bowles just said, nah, man, that's the New England offense they're running. How much of that is not just defendable now, but how much of that just in general is effective, you know, in the NFL these days?
I mean, and that's where we get really into weeds, where I'd like to ask somebody that, you know, at that level has that experience. But I'm not going to lie, and maybe this is too reductive. It does make me wonder, if this is flatly Patriots, what is Cayley bringing from his experience?
Good question.
In L.A.? Like, what are the...
energy.
Yes.
Yeah, just the McVay energy at the press conference.
And this might not be fair. How far is that energy translated to? If we have CJ standing up there sounding like
it, don't get far if you ain't producing.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And thus far in two games, we also haven't seen any like new innovation. Are we dealing with Bobby Slowick 2.0? And I know that guys have talked about this, but in the regard of I grew up in this system and I'm going to use the original derivative of it without adding additional portions on it. That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. And that's going to be even deeply frustrating for me, who I know that, yo, this is going to take 4 weeks, however many weeks, to find the realization of this offense. How much of that realization then comes back to, Now we finally got this offense, and it's one from 2008.
Well, and you mentioned Josh McDaniels, and it can be successful. You think Nick Caley was in those rooms with him? He was truly defined job description, tight ends coach. You know, when he was with New England, that ain't Josh McDaniels with all the tweaks and the experience and all that stuff. So is he? My question, and this is very, very early, but I think it's percolating, it's simmering. Are they just telling him, hey, run this? These are your plays. Put some numbers and names on them. You know, because how much does he really know about the New England system, even much less the McVay system?
I just hate that they just got away from the Shanahan offense and just went straight to Patriots, man. Because I get that Bobby Slowick wasn't good, but I feel like that was more just a messenger right there, man. Mm-hmm. I hate that they just got away from that whole offense.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me at this point, it seems less about the offense and like what is the aptitude of implementing and execute. Like, I hate to use the word execution because that ends up being a sports fan's most annoying word, but it's true. Like, you got it, whatever you're doing, you got to be able to execute it. Like, pretty when I say execute, it's not necessarily like, hey, take what's on paper and put it on the field. It's you've got to be able to like implement things that work in the modern era and things that work for what you're going at. And that was the big sell, was the game plan instance of it. It doesn't feel like they've game planned well for these particular teams.
You really don't see it. You never really saw it. Like, even the coaches that came from New England, whenever they went elsewhere, you never really saw the Patriots offense like that. Mm-hmm. You never really saw it take off.
Well, that's another great point. You know, where else outside of McDaniels?
I feel like the only place it really did a little something was here with Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the only success that the Patriots offense had elsewhere as like outside of New England.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you have that same feeling with the CJ Stroud press conference as I did? Because it was a lot of frustration for me. And I also kind of had a whole different wave of thought that I don't even know how much I want to bring to air at that point. But it was just a lot of frustration. And I understand maybe that's the circumstance, but it feels like it's even more pointed.
I'll go back to what I've mentioned a couple times this week. I think CJ Stroud got what he wanted and then realized this is not exactly, you know, the offense that is best for me to run because there's some constraints on it. And certainly part of that is a frustration with Nick Caley. You know, the whole thing of calling plays, not necessarily forming, you know, some tendencies and reading them and becoming, you know, kind of one with the quarterback, so to speak. I don't think that's happening. That's part of the frustration.
Again, you're practicing again today, and it's very quickly on to Jacksonville here soon, and you're going to need to have to find some answers, put them in place. Seems like motion isn't going to be one of them, at least boys. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I'm seeing per KPRC2, Aaron Wilson, apparently with Jimmy Ward, the grand jury and attorney has no billed by the grand jury, the case that he has being, and his attorney called it factually innocent. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious. So if that is to be believed, and depending on how this thing continues to play out, it does feel like you might have Jimmy Ward within the next, I don't know, few weeks if that legal situation is being handled as the Texans have kind of held off. I do wonder how helpful that ends up being, especially when we've seen kind of some inconsistent safety play for this Texans.
And the good news for the offense, once again, Kirk Berrios and Jake Andrews are practicing.
All practicing today, so that is helpful. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confession.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so got a little bothered last night. Nothing too bad.
Who bothered you?
CJ Stroud.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, personally? No.
This sounds like something Reggie would do. You know, I was getting ready for bed.
I have to decide if I need to fight you or not. Keep going.
Because I normally don't think about things like this. You know, just let it go.
I was in the shower and CJ Stroud bothered me.
Exactly. Hey, yo. One of those things. After the Astros game, you know, and I'm like, oh, damn. That freaking CJ Stroud wore a Mariners hat.
You still thinking about that?
I started thinking about that. I was like, this just makes him look worse now. Like that. I mean, we all kind of tongue in cheek, but kind of seriously, you know, with the Mariners hat, you know, I guess it was the opener, right? The home opener. Or was it a preseason game?
It was a preseason game.
It was a preseason, yeah, because we was in a suite.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so, and I showed you the picture.
That's right. So now that they are playing, you know who, the Mariners for all the marbles, in essence, I'm like, that freaking CJ Stroud. I just got mad at him.
Come
all
on, man.
Again.
He wore the hat for Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, sure.
It was his birthday.
Okay, sure.
Come on, guys.
And I normally don't like do stuff like that, but I was like, dang it, CJ.
How is that a me thing?
Because you do stuff like that. You think about weird things at weird times.
That is true. But this one doesn't feel like my brand of weird. I would like to stand on. I am very much a weird person who thinks about weird things. This is not my brand of weird. I will not accept this one.
Okay.
It's not me.
That doesn't bother you guys?
I got more important things to be bothered by CJ Stroud in this offense right now, man. Yeah. Like you're not going to get me on the Mariners, on the Mariners cap.
Let's say he goes to the game. What hat is he wearing?
Buddy, I think if he goes to the game, we're not worried about the hat. We like, why is your nose not in your playbook?
Yeah, get in the playbook.
Yeah.
Get in the playbook.
I think at this point, man, we don't care. But you can wear whatever you want at this point, man.
What are you doing? I don't know about that.
Worst look.
Yeah.
Vic jersey with the dog or Mariners hat?
Oh, Vic with the dog, for sure. But nevertheless.
People get mad about that Vic stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah.
People get real mad about that Vic stuff.
Did Lopez ever tell you when we had Frank Beamer on?
No.
And I don't know how he brought it. I don't think
former
nobody.
Virginia Tech head coach Frank Beamer?
They were in the Texas Bowl, and he was in studio.
He was
right
in studio.
From us.
Yep. And that's where I got this infamous drop from when I don't even know how y'all brought it up.
I don't either. I don't remember.
But he brought up Mike Vick and he said this.
And that was one of those truly where Figgy, you were there.
Yeah.
My face, I just went like dropped.
I was sitting there like, what in the world? I think he said it twice at one point.
Yeah, he did.
That is an objectively true statement that, again, nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear that, right? And people get mad about it, and I understand why.
Well, he didn't objectively love all dogs.
No, and he needed to be more loving towards some dogs in particular. I want you to know that I am right.
Okay.
I think this was this yesterday or 2 days ago when I said I ain't never been a hater on this particular gentleman until now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he making $40 million about annually, and his name is Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And there were some people that were like, nah. No, I'm right. Because apparently, per Front Office Sports, ESPN is adding Stephen A. Smith to its Monday Night Countdown pregame show starting this week with Lions Ravens. Are you bleeping kidding me?
Hey, you got to get your money's worth.
Hey, listen, are you surprised at this point? Whenever somebody making that much money, he's going to be on everything.
Yes. Not surprised in the least bit. Now, I mean, when I saw that story, it's not going to be every week. It's going to be, you know.
It don't have to be every
periodically.
Buddy, get ready for him to be on the inside the NBA at some point.
Yeah.
That's where I was like, he's going to infect everything, and it's going to upset me. Because it's even if, like, for no other reason, right, how he going to keep up the level of quality when you spread
nothing? I don't know how he has thus far. I really don't. He stays on top of it, man.
Yeah. At this point, the S in ESPN is Steven. That's what that means.
That's good, Figgy.
Well, some would say it's not sports, but no, it is absolutely Stephen A. I told you, man, I'm hating at this point. Pure hateration. Because ain't no way this should be happening. Yeah. Like, this is outside of the bounds.
I got to confess, my mom said something to me that really offended me. Mm-hmm. Have people ever told you, like, hey, you look like so-and-so?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it just offends you so much.
Yes.
You're like, why would you say that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said that to me a couple days ago.
Oh, I gotta know who she said.
No, it wasn't even nobody famous. Mm-hmm. So it was, I think she be all on my Instagram and screenshotting stuff and sending it to me. Oh, I don't know why she do that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Ma, that's my page. I posted that.
Mm-hmm.
But she sent me a picture of me. I was doing a video and she said, you look just like daddy. And I'm like, okay, like my father, like a lot of people always say that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you look just like your dad and all that other stuff. So she called me and said, hey, did you see my text message?
That's, come on.
Before
we even get to the punchline.
Just so you know.
That'd drive me up a wall.
I'm like, yeah, the picture you sent of me on my page.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you look just like daddy. And she said it like that. And I'm like, she normally don't call my father daddy.
Yeah.
I'm like, daddy? She like, no, yeah, my father.
Oh.
So I'm like, I look like my grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
I was so disgusted, man. I'm like, because my rest in peace to my grandfather, Papa John. We call him Papa John.
Mm-hmm.
John D. Swain.
That's a great name.
Did he make good pizza?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Neither does Papa John.
But see, the thing is, he, to me, maybe it was because I was a kid or whatever, he always looked old.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
even I think I seen the picture of him when he was like 12 years old.
He still looked old.
And he looked old. That's just somebody that's just a career looking old dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't. Why would you say that? I look like my grandfather, man.
He said you looking tired. You need to get you some rest.
Nah, man. I did not like that. It really bothered me to this point. And I'm debating if I should tell her.
No, don't tell your mom that. She was giving you a compliment.
Yeah, she said, you look just like daddy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, your dad? I was really offended over this. I don't think I should have been that offended, but that really bothered me.
I get it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to admit, I think one of these, you know, warm and fuzzy feel-good stories is going to end very, very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about the tuba player at LSU. Who was the guy you mentioned, the older fella that started yesterday? Didn't you mention someone?
I'm having a hard time recalling.
There was another one mentioned that went back to whatever school to play football or something. Well, Lycoming College has a 58-year-old freshman defensive lineman.
Oh, my goodness.
In the 1980s, I love this line, by the way. It's also from Front Office Sports. In the 1980s, Tom Sillo quit high school football to do drugs.
Nice.
Which I love that line.
That's a hell of a line.
That's a hell of a line.
It's not that like doing drugs like, made him want. He was like, I need to stop because I need more time in my schedule.
Why are you quitting? Drugs, of course. Then worked for a city's streets and parks department for 33 years. And now he's fulfilling his dream of being a college football player. These are always kind of cool stories. One of these dudes, because it's been like, it's been more than two, at least three that I've seen. And I know one was a tuba player, but nevertheless, you know, I think he was 63, 64 or something. You never know how things are going to end out, you know, marching all over the place on a hot evening or whatever. But especially the players. I got a hunch one of these is not going to end well, man. And it's not going to be nearly as good of a story.
100%. Yeah. And the dudes that go back and play football, like I understand trying to tap back into your youth. I just don't understand how you as a human being who starts hearing noises when you get up off the couch is like, you know what I should do? Run into people that are many years my junior.
And he's a lineman.
That's going to go well.
And he's a lineman.
Man, like, that is crazy.
It's all cool, and I've been seeing it circulate, and I'm like, man, well, first of all, you couldn't catch me doing any of that. But secondly, let's kind of put a damper on these things.
That's kind of the last sport you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, at that age, you shouldn't be doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about playing football as the sport. I think you have a better chance. Even basketball, all that stuff is tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about being a lineman.
You gotta come back to football to be a specialist. Like, I'm 66 and I'm gonna be a long snapper.
Yes,
damn it.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't even know about being a punter. Like, that could be a little intense at times.
What you mean a hammy? That's your hip.
Both.
Or seeing somebody coming at you about to block the punt and knock you on your butt.
That's why I said long snapper. They're not allowed to touch you.
I mean, you're the youngest in the room.
That is correct.
You're like 32, 33, right?
That is correct.
What could you do?
Playing football?
Yeah.
In my head, I could play wide receiver. In all reality,
I can get your
helmet right. Here's a nice sideline cap for you. You need some water? I got some water over here.
Yeah, let me hold that for you.
Yeah, let me be a quality control assistant.
I would sit on the sideline holding your necklace, your chain.
Yes.
And I would be the chain guy.
Let me watch some tape for you.
Yeah,
You got them all on? Yep.
Dripped out.
Actually, we need that in college football. We need that, or in pro football, it doesn't matter.
I thought they had somebody like that.
Just to put all the chains on.
Yeah, just somebody. I'm Jamar Chase chain handler or something. I just rock his chain on the sideline.
It's bad, man. I mean, like 58. You trying to do this? No, thank you.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
When if it get to a point where they gotta put him in?
Oh, I think
like injuries is happening.
For the story, he's going to have his little Rudy moment, I'm sure.
You're worried about the wrong thing. You're talking about games. The thing that gets dudes to quit is not playing them games.
It's
That's
practice.
The fun part. It's practice.
We hear his talk about some practice.
And it's hard.
Let me.
It's very difficult.
This is the capital J journalism I need. Don't talk to me when he made the team. Talk to me when they start two-a-days.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to hear from my boy from.
Well, there's a picture of him in uniform, so apparently he survived that somehow.
Yeah,
you say so.
I would have been out on the conditioning part.
Yeah.
Just the regular conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see him running up the hill. Tell me what that means.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 from the 936. What happened if Davis Mills has to come in for CJ and the offense runs smoothly? That's a whole nother question.
Y'all going to be acting a damn fool on social media. That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to
happen. And not a chance in hell.
We were out of steak night and somebody left the bar yelling out towards us saying that it's Davis Mills time. I was like, we are already acting a damn fool.
Davis Mills had his chance, man.
Yes.
It ain't going to happen here. He going to have to go elsewhere. Anyway. He had his chance. They gave him the keys.
And why are you doing Tyler like that?
And what? When you talk about
yelling.
Tyler was the number one saying like, no.
Tyler had the jersey though. He was all in on the day on the Mills truthers.
And that's how I know. Like, this is, Tyler was like, even I... Can't quite go there, fellas. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's a Thursday. Let's do a little buy or sell. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. Let's break it down next. All right, let's do a little buy or sell here on a Thursday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you about the various things in sports that they're talking about? So I turn things over to John Lopez.
You can call me Judge. It's fine.
Nah, we not in the segment. We don't got to do that.
Real quick, are you buying this? The Drive, roughly 2:30 p.m., is going to have Jalen Knoll on their show.
Yes, I will buy that. Yeah. I will also buy that they are broadcasting from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Baytown.
Mm-hmm.
So those are both things that you should buy. And, you know, plan your day around. Plan accordingly. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into some dicier ones here. Maybe a little more thought needs to go into it. Are you buying or selling? A lot of people said this, but let's just go with D'Amico Ryans. We're not far away. We've made a lot of strides.
I mean, I'm selling it.
It's so tough.
I am selling it. They're not far away in that they were those one score games. They had opportunities to win them, right? A fourth down tackle, fourth and 10 tackle wins you the game on Monday. A finishing out a drive where you're moving down the field wins you the game in week one in LA. So I hear you on that. But the idea, the made a lot of strides thing is the frustrating part, because there have been some things that have notably felt backwards of sorts, right? Like, well, that's the thing that's frustrating. Like, they're not able to run the ball really well. Defensively, the part that needs to carry early on, and we talked about it, was going to be necessary to carry an offense that was finding itself. It feels like they're trying to put the superhero cape on, and that's pulled them backwards in some ways. So in that way, you look at it holistically, and I don't think that I see the strides as of right now in the way that they played. So I understand where he's coming from, but no, I don't buy it.
I'm kind of buying it a little bit, man. I feel like they feel they're close to where they really want to be. And I don't think they really want this fireworks type of offense. I think they just want to play hard nose, run the ball type of offense, keep it close and lean on the defense. And that's exactly what happened last night. I felt as bad as the offense was last game on Monday, I felt like they did enough to win the game and to rely on the defense.
Yeah.
So I think I do think they're close. Do I think they're close? No.
Yeah, but you're saying buying what they're believing.
Yes.
I'm selling it in part because of what Reggie said. That second part, we've made a lot of strides. I'd like to see them for one. And then here's the other thing, and I meant to mention this earlier when we were talking about this squad. You know, when you say you're close, you're also close to maybe going the other way in this sense. Keep in mind, the Buccaneers missed a field goal. They tried to double up at the end of the first half, start of the second half, and something broke down on that. I can't remember exactly. You were really close to kind of going, well, that's over, you know?
I never even mentioned this. We have the perfect viewpoint for that particular end zone to see that doink. I never realized how much the upright sway.
Oh, when it goes. You can hear it.
It looked like that thing moved a good 10, 15 degrees. I was like, golly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, you're close kind of in both directions. All right, you buying or selling this? We mentioned this earlier. It was also part of the question of the day. Antoine Winfield, when he was asked about whether or not the Bucs allowed Nick Chubb to score, it was a great play. Let's leave it at that.
I mean, I'm selling that he wants to just leave it at that, but I am buying that. I don't think that this was like, I don't think that it was just like, hey, we are letting him score straight up. I do think that it's a little bit complex. I think that they were trying to stuff the run. And then once it kind of broke free, they decided, well, let's go, because it is something to say that they still had to drive 80 yards on that drive to go score a touchdown. And they got caught up a number of times, right? Like, these are clear passing downs. They did give themselves a chance, but these are clear passing downs that you're in where now, you know, you've got a good pass rush coming after you. You just were able to make some plays, and honestly, the Texans didn't make plays that allowed them to go and win it.
Yeah, I'm kind of buying what he's saying, too, because I do think, I feel like saying that they let him score just kind of don't give any credit to the Texans at all. I do feel like they did a good job with that, but. Nah, I don't know, man. I think Indy brought up a good point talking about integrity and all that stuff. They had never admit it.
He said absolutely they let him score.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I don't think they could like go out and just say, yeah, we just let him go through.
Oh, no, that part, yeah.
I think the offensive line did have to do a little work.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I kind of buy what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm selling it. Although I think Reggie's right, it might not have been a pre-down decision. It might have been like, hey, if this happens, let him score. Either way, they let him score. It doesn't matter if it was predetermined or not. If it was a read on the field, they let him score. All right, you buying or selling this? Dana Brown said that the Astros, quote, received good news on Yordan Alvarez's ankle.
I choose to believe this. Mm-hmm. I will buy this. Just
here we go again.
I want it to be true. I don't know how you can take very much of the Astros' medical results and take them to heart, because we've been burned by that time and time and time and time again. But at this moment, at this juncture, especially if you can indeed get Isak Paredes back, you might be able to make some things shake, especially with Pena and Correa and Altuve finding a little bit of something offensively. If you could squeeze just a little bit, you might be able to make it to where a Yordan coming back helps you out to a great degree. So I'm just going to believe it just because I want to.
Yeah, I'm actually buy this because I'm thinking like, man, if it's some good news, maybe it's not totally shattered or broken.
No.
But it could have some type of little hairline fracture for all of I know. But maybe that is the good news. The good news is it's not shattered.
And I guess outside of like the hopium of it all, I've played a lot of basketball. I've seen dudes have a turn that looks really bad, and then ultimately actually it doesn't end up being as bad as it seemed once you get to a different place. So it very well could be that this is just fine. We've seen this enough with turned ankles.
I'm buying it too because I think they probably did receive good news after the MRI, but that doesn't mean it still doesn't affect when is he going to play. You know what I mean? So, but I think they did receive good news. Let's stay with the Astros on the next one. Joe Espada last night on winning the silver boot, quote, we care about this stuff.
Actually, I do buy that. Like, I think that these are things that, especially in a 162-game season, help you get up four games. Now, of course, this game had more than just the silver boot series, but I do think that things like that matter, especially because you have an opportunity to build up your anticipation, get yourself in the game. I know that nobody wants to hear it because it sounds crazy, but, hey, man, doing anything for 162 times, you can lose like a certain level of motivation. Give yourself something to juice yourself up. I think that matters to some degree. And there's a lot of familiarity and, let's say, bad blood between these two sides. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure all of that helps in making this matter to the team.
I think they take pride into I'm selling this. I think they take pride into beating the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole division thing. I'm not buying the whole silver boot thing, man.
That's bragging rights, baby.
I just don't. I'm sorry. I don't think they care that much.
I'm with you, Figgy. I think they really care about beating the Rangers. That's a true rival now.
Yeah,
it's a true.
That's a division.
It wasn't for the longest time. It really is a rival now. I think they love beating the Rangers. I'll bet you a good 30%, if not more, of the players in the locker room when you said, "Hey, how's it feel to win the silver boot?" The what? I don't even know if they really know or care about the actual silver boot. They just like beating the Rangers.
I don't think they just going in like, you know what, we got to focus on the silver boot.
Do it for
boot.
The boot.
Yeah, nah, it's the Rangers, man.
I think we're making a distinction without a difference. All right, the silver boot is what? A manifestation of beating the Rangers. Like, I think that that's what that exists.
But I don't even think they care about that.
But do you have the same feeling for the A's?
Yeah.
Like, this is a division team right here, man.
Yeah, I think there is a distinction. I think it's like, I don't care about that damn trophy. But we beat the Rangers.
Because that represents beating the Rangers. It's the trophy.
I don't even know if they know that. Like, they've heard of it. Like, oh, yeah. You know,
the Rangers, could be playing in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I just don't think the silver boot is the end all be. I think it's the Rangers, man.
Yeah. All right. You buying or selling this? Liam Cohen, you know him, you love him, said he's had, quote, great conversations with Brian Thomas Jr. For those who don't remember, who kind of got the alligator arms and was accused in several ways of not wanting to get hit.
I actually believe this. He seems like he has a good bedside manner, for lack of a better term, as a coach. It seems like that's one of his calling cards, is that he can kind of talk to guys in some ways. And then that's a young guy in Brian Thomas Jr. I don't think that he wants to be soft or scared or anything. Mm-hmm. So, an opportunity to have a heart-to-heart with your coach, it seems like that would go over pretty easily, I think.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. First year coach, I think he's probably still learning on the go too. So I think the best thing he could do is talk to these guys early and try to, be, I don't want to say a little more relatable, but just kind of, just kind of be easy, kind of be more of a player's coach a little bit. So I buy it.
I'm buying it as well. Buying or selling this, Justin Verlander said, quote, definitely playing in 2026.
I buy it because that dude he decides that he wants to get out here. Plus, we mentioned it's 11 starts, which is not insignificant in a season that he has been not just good, but really good pitching. So I can see him lacing it back up. And really, it feels like at his level with the quality of pitcher that he has been in his history, it really is about want to. And if he can say that definitively right now, it feels like he has that want to. It's not like he doesn't know what going through an offseason will do to him. Because sometimes I always wonder, like, especially football, when guys start, you know, thinking about going out, yeah, I'm going to be back. And then you get into training camp, you're like, actually, I don't want to go through this. I think he's been through spring training enough. He knows what that would do to that feeling of wanting to keep going. And for him to say that so definitively right now, I believe him. And I kind of just want him to do it because I want him to get 300. Like, I want him to get those wins.
Woo.
Go ahead, Piggy. I'm buying it, too. That dude is a machine. I feel like he really cares about his body. He do a lot of research on his body and mechanics and stuff like that. So, yeah, 100%. And I do think he wanted to try to get to that 300.
I'm glad you both mentioned 300 wins. I am buying that he's going to play or try to play in 2026. I don't know if he's going to even come close to playing. He's 35 wins away from 300. That's not a little number.
That's one season. That is perfect.
That is not a little number.
Yeah, so he will realistically, because
it's 2027.
I'm not the earliest. I'm not looking at him as the Cy Young Verlander, but realistically, he will have to go maybe three seasons.
Well, at least into 2027 to get to 35 wins.
You know, the last time that he had. Oh, well, actually, that's not fair. He had 13 wins 2 years ago. And two to three seasons.
That's what I'm saying. Like, realistically, he could go for a good 8 wins.
He's going to be 43 next year. I do buy that he wants to play in 2026. I just think the reason is a lot of people are talking about 300 wins. That ain't going to happen. It's just not. In 3 years, you know, given his recent, I think he just loves the game. I think he just loves the game.
Probably love that money, too.
And the money.
And, I mean, that's the thing is he loves the game, but he's also good enough to keep it going. So, yeah, it's likely. You're right. It's likely is those things more than 300. For me on the outside, that's the thing that matters for me, right, is the thing that I find interesting. This might be the last dude that we have that really has a shot at getting to 300. So, yeah, get out here and keep doing it for my personal want of seeing that number get hit. But obviously do it for yourself. And it seems like that is 100% where he is. Yeah, Verlander has a 3.75 ERA. That's solid. The problem is he just wasn't getting wins being on the Giants. So that's the thing that I find interesting. Where does he go play? That is going to be the thing that matters when it comes to that 300 wins. All right, a little buy or sell is what we got going here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. All right, coming up next, we do need to start talking about the Jaguars. It's a Thursday. Is this the biggest question of the Jags game? 713-572-4610. I'll tell you what it is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.